Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, Barrett Salee, National College Football writer with CBSSports.com, also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. But right now, Hall of Famer, four-time Sports Writer of the Year, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Teresa, always a pleasure. Welcome back to the show.
My pleasure, Johnny. How you doing?
Life is good. Much better than I can say the Nashville Predators. Tonight, let's just throw it out there. If they lose on the road in Detroit, they will be no worse than tied by themselves in last place inside the division. They could still be tied with Dallas, depending what Dallas does. But that's not a place where anybody associated with that organization expected or wanted this team to be at this point in the season.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, this is a team that is like, we're good. We're going to compete. We learned our lesson. We've got to go out and do it. We can't say it. And it's all about the production. And yet we're here. And we haven't been seeing much production. Now, they had an absolute must win on Saturday, without a doubt. And let's face it. I mean, you know, raise your hands if you were kind of surprised that one, they had a lead. Two, that when they lost it and got tied, that they were able to come back and retake that lead and get a win on the road. I mean, count me. I was, absolutely. And that's the thing. The seat under John Hines and, yes, David Poyle is pretty close to boiling at this point. So, you know, if the Predators want to work off that ledge, get back in the room, and, you know, I'm not even going to say get in contention at this point, just show us that you can win more than a period, more than one game. Start stringing some things together. Now, Ryan Johansson, he's going to be back in the lineup. He's been activated off of IR. That's a very good thing. He was skating this morning with Nick Cousins and Ailey Tolvanen. So, you know, go out and show, you know, his point production hadn't been great, but when he was out, you could tell that obviously he brings something to this lineup. The offense is way down without him around on the ice. So go out there and start doing some stuff. Detroit's the team you should beat. You know, it's a team that they shouldn't have lost to on their home ice, a week ago Saturday? So go out there and win this game. You know, prove that you're not among the very worst in the NHL, and start doing something about it. Now's the time. I know that David Poyle remains ever optimistic, but it's time for the pavement to hit the road, whatever cliche you want to use. But they got to start showing they can get the biscuit in the basket and get some W's on the board and start climbing their way out of this mess.
Speaking of messes, and it's not a mess. It's just things that you have to do in the off season if you're an NFL franchise. This is that time of year where you got to decide about franchise tags, if you're going to put one on or not. You've got to decide who you want back, who you can get back, how to get yourself in respectable position with regards to the salary cap, and still, oh, by the way, maybe still being a player with a player here or there, maybe a J.J. Watt, as far as in the free agent market. The team is not that far per se, but then again, though, the 2021 team is not going to look like anything like the 2020 team.
Johnny, I'm just going through the lists and working on my free agency capsule as we speak, and by my count, I'm coming up with something like 20 undrafted free agents who are hitting the market. Now, you know, the Titans have got to decide, do you want to bring in a Watt? Do you think that you could do better if Jadeveon Clowney has a whole training camp to go through? And does that make the pass rush better? Daquan Jones, Corey Davis, Desmond King, Jonnu Smith, Michael Pruitt, Jayon Brown, Stephen Gostkowski, and I'm not even getting into the guys like, oh, yeah, your long snapper, Matt Overton, Will Compton, Nick DeZuznar, Chris Milton, some, you know, key special teams guys. And that's not counting. There's 5 restricted free agents who you should be keeping around. Things are going to be looking different. How different? Let's stay tuned. But, you know, this is a team that doesn't have a ton of cap space right now. They're going to have to do some things to create that. And guess what? You create cap space by either redoing contracts and converting salaries into signing bonuses, which also means a cap hit at some future date. But you also can do it by cutting people. So, you know, what does John Robinson choose to do to get this team where it needs to be? And, oh, yeah, that's forget a 53-man roster. That's a 51-man roster, and have the ability to do some things like, you know, have a whole, you know, 90-man roster for training camp. So, this team is about to undergo some pretty big changes potentially. Now, here's the one thing we know. Derrick Henry, not going anywhere this year. Ryan Tannehill, not going anywhere. So, you know, those guys are under contract. So is a Jeffrey Simmons. And, you know, so guess what? At this point, things are looking, you know, you have to reload. You have the core. And, you know, shoot, if you're pitching to J.J. Watt, I should just put on some film. It's like, you remember that game in January 3rd in Houston where Derrick Henry ran for 250? Yeah, and we've got a guy who threw for 33 touchdown passes. You can be the guy that helps anchor our defense and gets us to a championship. At least that'd be my pitch.
You know, it seems like it's been 3 or 4 years ago, but we're talking about a year ago as far as leading up to the April draft of 2020. And I'm trying to remember exactly the limitations that NFL teams had in other years, you know, as far as being able to have a lot of in-person, one-on-one type of chats with individuals they were interested in drafting. You know, certainly COVID-19 changed a lot of things, and the draft was no exception. I bring it up because how did the Titans miss so badly on the mindset of one Isaiah Wilson?
Well, John Robinson talked to us last Tuesday and said that they had a lot of meetings with Isaiah Wilson. And, you know, the only questions when they drafted him last year at 29 overall was, did they reach a little bit? You know, but there was the thought that while he might need some development, he should turn into a, you know, productive offensive lineman in the NFL. But, you know, as John Robinson said, the guy that they got to know and the guy that they talked to so much isn't the guy who showed up for work when it was time for training camp. And, you know, here's, you know, it's tough not to look at his Twitter handle of Lazy and just wonder, you know, he comes to camp, he's put on the COVID list. He ends up on the COVID list again. You know, there's the, you know, the incident over at Tennessee State in the off-campus apartments in August. You know, and then there was the incident in September where he was arrested. And then there was the report of another vehicle accident. You know, we know that they suspended him for the Cleveland game, and then they put him on the NFI list. But, you know, so that's the thing. They gave him opportunities, and all they've gotten out of him for 1 year is three offensive snaps, you know, in garbage time, and one special team snap, four snaps from your number one pick, you know, 29 overall, a guy in a year where two tackles went down and you needed him, and they couldn't get him to be productive or be ready to go on the field. And that's the thing John Robinson said, is we have a standard here, and you have to meet that. And right now, it just, you know, especially with that tweet last night, yes, you know, he might not have put it. It might have been somebody else. It was deleted shortly thereafter. But, you know, it's just yet another, you know, piece on the fire here, and it's just burning brightly. I mean, how much longer can the Titans be patient? You know, I think he's got a dead cap hit of, you know, more than a couple million this year. So there's a reason why they're taking their time before making a decision. In the NFL, you don't make a decision or get rid of somebody until you absolutely have to. So, you know, stay tuned. You know, this soap opera involving Isaiah Wilson doesn't seem over just yet, at least not in Nashville.
You know, here's the thing. If somebody had hacked into my Twitter account or somebody else had access to it and put the words "done with football as a Titan," and it wasn't me, guess what I would be doing shortly thereafter? I would be posting a tweet basically saying, I did not write that. Somebody was having fun with my account. I apologize. Something, right? You just don't leave it just out there to the wind.
Kenny Britt managed to get out real quickly that he was hacked on social media once upon a time when there were some things came out on his social media feed that, you know, so yes, it is possible. So, you know, are the odds in the arrow pointing at most likely Isaiah Wilson having done that? Yes. Somebody who got to him to get him to delete that. Hopefully they can talk some sense into this young man while there's still time to salvage his professional career.
Yeah, but you know as well as I do, you know, that's why there's so much practice going on. That's why coaches, whether you're talking about college ranks or the NFL preseason, they are testing players mentally, physically to see if they're exhausted in the fourth quarter. Do they still have fight in them so they know that they can depend on them to be on that field? If they need a winning drive, that guy can be out there to help that winning drive. There's nothing that Wilson has shown the Tennessee Titans over the last year that he is that guy.
True, but here's the thing. You don't give up on somebody until you have to. You know, with Kevin Dodd, they went, two seasons and coming up to his third training camp, and when he didn't report, that's when they cut him. You know, and he played 9 games over his first 2 seasons, his only 2 seasons in the NFL. So, you know, that's the thing. You have to, it's like having a nice piece of furniture, Johnny. You don't throw it to the curb until, you know, you just realize this just doesn't work. And
no,
you have to give it, it's like you sit on it every which way possible before you ditch it to the curb.
I think the bigger problem, and you can agree or disagree, if you rank the teams 1 to 32, and this is, goes back to the fact that Mike Vrabel, for example, had no answers about the kicking game and sent out a kicker who had no confidence whatsoever so he could miss his 4th field goal of an afternoon. It makes me wonder with the Tennessee Titans compared to the other 31 teams, and that's what you compare NFL teams to the other teams that are out there, especially inside your division. I just wonder if they're missing the boat a little bit from the mental aspect of it. Some teams really do a great job with that. Others need a little help. I'm just thinking the Titans need a little bit more help in that area.
Well, John Robinson said that he was going to be doing some self-scouting to see, you know, to try to address, you know, the issues that led to this mistake. But here's the thing. Here's the one stat that trumps the issues with some of the draft picks. And, you know, and guess what? You know, when they got the guy in who missed those 4 field goals, you know, they were suddenly scrambling for a kicker. You know, my problem was that they should have addressed it and brought in a true kicker for the entire offseason program rather than just trusting that Ryan Suckup's knee would be completely recovered by the time the season started. And then maybe then you're not in that, you know, what ended up being an absolute mess of the season when it came to kicker. But there are only 2 other teams in the entire NFL, Johnny, who have had 5 consecutive winning seasons. You've got the Seattle Seahawks, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Tennessee Titans, who are the only teams to finish above 500 from 2016 to 2020. So, you know, and guess who's been GM for those seasons? So it's been John Robinson. You know, this is the guy who also took Derrick Henry at number 45, 12 picks after Kevin Dodd, a busted pick. Now, NFL.com ranked all the draft classes from 2020. The Titans were absolutely dead last. I retweeted their ranking, I think, on Sunday night. They did bad, you know. And here's the thing. Guess what? I think that, you know, I don't think Amy Adams Strunk has to tell John Robinson, dude, get it together. You know, when you're looking at a cap situation of, I think, you know, SpotRack has them at $2.3 million right now. All these free agents to sign, you know, it's simple. You know, the idea of must be better, I don't think anyone has to tell John Robinson that.
Well, before you give John Robinson and the Titans all that credit, you know, they did pass on Derrick Henry 3 times. And, well, not to say the other teams didn't either. 31 teams also passed on Derrick Henry, but he was chosen with their 3rd second-round pick of that particular draft, 4th overall pick. So, you know, just throwing that out there on record, it wasn't like we're talking about evil genius out there doing a great job outthinking the room.
Well, absolutely, but, you know, I'll say this. I Titan fans at least got Derrick Henry, you know, at number 45 after using, you know, John Robinson did use 3 previous draft picks that draft. But, I think that he'll get a little bit more dispensation than, say, the Chicago Bears front office, which has to live down having passed up not just Deshaun Watson, but Pat Mahomes for some guy named Mitch Trubisky. So, you know, among front office issues, the Titans have had far more hits than misses.
As far as men's basketball is concerned, what do you make about Tennessee? Do you feel like it's a team that let's just play wait and see in March if the team can get hot 2 games a weekend for the month of March? Or the inconsistency with this team, especially when it looks like it's talented enough to make a run to the Sweet 16 and who knows, maybe even beyond, that's the part that's kind of frustrating for the fans of the Vols.
Well, I think that, without a doubt, they're just an incredible roller coaster. I mean, you know, it's been crazy to watch them up and down, up and down. And the same issue is prevalent whenever they lose. They can't make shots. They can't get to the paint. Their mid-range jumpers aren't going down. And, you know, they just can't hit the side of a barn at that point, it seems. So, you know, tomorrow night we'll see what happens in Memorial Gym, but and then there's also the theory that they need an alpha dog to kind of carry them. And apparently Josiah Jordan-James, the sophomore, is a little bit more critical to this than maybe we might have thought. He missed the Kentucky game. He was huge in the game at Rupp, you know, on the boards and things like that, helping get that team to a great comeback win. He's dealing with a wrist injury. You know, John Fulkerson, you know, Rick Barnes said it yesterday. You know, it's not some physical. It seems to be, you know, is it mental? You know, he's seen players just go through these funks, and, you know, it's going to be up to Fulkerson to try to shake out of it. Maybe he needs Cher to come over and just slap him and see if that helps. You know, Moonstruck reference for anyone who didn't get that one. But, you know, I just don't know, Johnny. I mean, this is a team that at the beginning of the season we all thought was going to have a chance to go to that first Final Four in program history. Now, you know, the odds are that they could be the team that loses their opener in the NCAA tournament. They're going to go to the tournament, and they'll go as far as they can. They, you know, they can play really well and be very dominant when everything's clicking. But when they can't shoot, they just, it just seems like they start laying bricks like they're putting up a house. So I don't really have an answer at this point. I will come to this, and it kind of applies to Vanderbilt as well. It's just, you know, these teams have played so many fewer games than they're accustomed to. You know, the non-conference schedule was almost wiped out for most of these teams, and then you've lost conference games as well. Tomorrow night is a game that was originally scheduled to be played January 12th. And then got postponed and rescheduled because of a COVID testing issue with the Vanderbilt Commodores. So, you know, the rhythm of this season, yes, we're on target to have the SEC tournament, NCAA tournament, but that's about the only thing that seems normal in this season. So, you know, they just don't have enough games. There's a reason why teams tend to, you know, kind of come together in February and into March. It's because they've had so many games on the court together. You know, shoot, it was just a couple weeks ago that Rick Barnes said that he'd only been able to have his team on the practice court for a couple of straight weeks for, you know, and it had been a while. So, you know, I think that whole COVID issue is also kind of unnoticed under the radar because, yes, we see the games being postponed, canceled, pushed around. But, you know, the fact that these guys just aren't getting the practice time in addition to the games is having a big impact on this season.
We appreciate you as always, Teresa. If you're not doing so, you can follow Teresa on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker. And make sure you like her Facebook page as well. You have a great week. We'll be in touch.
Thank you, Johnny.